ओम शांति। टुडेज़ मुरली इज वेरी वेरी प्रोफाउंड एंड बाबा स्पीकिंग अबाउट द कर्मातीत स्टेज एंड एट द एंड ऑफ द मुरली Baba said, I've just given you a few things to think about and to check, but there's a lot more to this subject and Baba will take it up later. And so it's not a subject that can be understood completely in one murali, but it's going to take a few muralis, but not just a few muralis, it's going to take a lot of deep experiment on our part to see how close I am to karmatit and how far I am, even just to understand it, never mind come to that stage. And so what comes out very clearly is that the word that Baba keeps using is dependency. And it reminded me of how when we talk about addictions, people generally think about addictions as being something connected with substance. But what Baba has explained is that addictions are the things that are connected with the negative emotions we go through. And so they become addictions, whether it's anger or attachment or ego, whatever. In the same way, Baba's using this word dependency, and it's part of that addiction story, because once you become dependent, then it's not so easy even to recognize that there's a dependency, but certainly to break that dependency takes a lot of willpower. And so one can understand very clearly now how body consciousness started in the Copper Age, but it was a dependency. And so it continued and continued. And when today people say, but soul consciousness is such a simple thing to understand, and yet not such a simple thing to practice, it's because of that state of the consciousness being dependent on the body, and so very difficult to break that dependency until I really, when Baba says it takes a lot of effort, and you know it's not effort in the sense of hard work, and so the effort that it takes internally to develop that awareness and to strengthen that resolve that this is what I must do. And so the first dependency, the dependency on my own body, and within the world out there you'd say, but of course I'm dependent on the body. I, the soul, am here to perform action, and if I'm not dependent on the body, how am I going to be able to do anything? And yet Baba's describing a stage in which I'm in the body, but I'm not dependent on the body. I'm totally aware that yes, I need to use my eyes, my ears, and whatever it is I'm doing, but instead of depending on the organs, I take on the challenge of being the master of the organs. And so just that change, not just the awareness of just that amalgam of soul and body mixed together, but absolute detachment, and through the detachment, the mastery of the senses. And the other thing that Baba's mentioned very categorically, that Of course, whatever the consciousness is, so the result of that action, but in particular, where there are desires, limited desires. And so that consciousness of wanting something, desiring something, again, that becomes in itself a bondage. I'm sure that before Baba's knowledge, none of us would have thought that even the desire for something, never mind getting it, but even just the desire for something is in itself a bondage. And yet today Baba's making it very clear that when you're performing action with a limited desire, and limited is anything to do here in the physical dimension, it's always going to be limited. And in that consciousness of desire, then yes, even when you do get the fruit of that, your desire is fulfilled through whatever action you're performing. The problem is that the return is also going to be limited. The experience of the happiness that comes from that fruit is never going to be a state of fulfillment and completion. It started with limitation, so the result is going to be limited. And when you study Baba's Murali, everything is very logical, very simple. And yet, these are connections that most of us had never made. And so, Baba's often talked about contentment, and Baba's given it a great deal of attention, that contentment is a very basic quality on the basis of which you're able to develop spiritually and you're able to develop all the other virtues also. But in this Murali, Baba's explaining the reason for discontent. And the reason that Baba's explained is these factors. Now, in that case, I'm not just dependent on my body, and I've forgotten about soul consciousness and mastery, but more than that, I'm dependent on other people. I'm dependent on situations. And when things are not working out as I wish them to, and I forgot that it was my desire that came in the way, but I'm not getting the results that I'd like to for longer than a few minutes or a few days, whatever, there's going to be discontent. And so that state of wanting things to happen from outside is always going to be destructive of my own inner state of contentment. And I'm not realizing, of course, that I am the one that's destroying my own contentment. Baba's taken it on a very serious level, that state in which I'm discontent, it's actually like the influence of another spirit on me. And so that desire becomes the thing that overtakes the soul. And of course, then that desire is going to lead to even further dependency, but it's also going to lead to that state of discontent in which then I'm discontent with myself. But also then, I create a lot of upheaval around me. And that's the reality. We've seen that happen so often. The seed of discontent within, and then that soul is never going to be content with anyone around them, but you're going to also cause discontent for others, because everything just goes awry. Nothing goes in the way that it should. Baba's also spoken about how there's a lack of understanding because of this state in which I'm being influenced from out there. First influence is the inner influence of my own body consciousness, but the influence from outside that's coming in through my attachment and dependency on people and things, that influence is something that I'm not understanding. And so the Hindi words raz and razi and naraz, you can see that they're connected. So raz, the significance, and then razi, content, and then naraz, disturbed, discontent. And so where I'm not understanding all these subtle energies and what's taking me away from my own goal of happiness and contentment, is because then the lack of understanding, and I become upset, I become discontent, and the whole muddle of the Copper Age and the Iron Age and even the Confluence Age gets more and more entangled and worse and worse. You can see just from these few sentences that I've explained that Baba Smriti is very, very profound, but I know that Baba Smriti is, or generally spirituality, isn't something to understand just through an intellectual process. It has to be through experiment. For example, this whole thing about dependency on the body. It's only when I experiment with the inner state of detachment in soul consciousness that I'm going to be able to understand that. Otherwise, even the understanding is very far. And so the experiment with soul consciousness, when I begin to understand where I am dependent on the body and the organs. And so that state where my consciousness is actually shifting from body consciousness to soul consciousness, and in soul consciousness, I'm taking what Baba is giving me, so that then there's a state of fulfillment inside. And of course, that state where my desire led to a certain action, but the fruit of that action is also then the bondage that holds me there. And so where good karma is creating, go back a step further, good consciousness is creating good karma, and the results are good, but I'm not accepting them as something for myself in a limited way, then that's not bondage, but it's a sweet relationship between the soul and body, the soul and others, and even circumstances. And beyond that, of course, then the fruit being stored for the future instead of immediate gratification and immediate limited results. You have to read them really a few times to understand what Baba's saying. But a very, very interesting Murli that's explaining the whole thing about bondage and how to be able to be free from bondage. The other thing that Baba's explaining, of course, consciousness and thoughts connected, but where actions are creating fear, and there's a bondage of that. Fear becomes a huge bondage also. And whether we are seeing it in the state of the world around us at the present time, or whether it is we are seeing it for ourselves at the moment, whichever. But fear is a huge bondage that's going to prevent me from doing that which is right, that which is good. And it's my own thoughts that have created that fear. And when I begin to think in a negative way, even about myself, because I'm seeing that things that are going on are not so as I would want them to be, in that state of rejection, why is it happening like this? It shouldn't be like this. About myself, I'm no good, for this is my destiny, this is my fortune. Why does it always happen to me? I was described all of those thoughts. But all of those thoughts are actually holding me in bondage even more strongly. It's my negative thoughts and my waste thoughts that are creating more and more bondage. And Baba's given the scissor to be able to cut those bondages. It's a very simple sentence, but Baba's described it as the scissors. And so the scissors to cut all these bondages. I am good. The Father is good. And Rama is good. And so, very simple statement, but of course it needs faith. And if I don't believe it, and maybe if I'm just repeating the words to myself, it's not going to work. The Baba's told me who I am and my own original state of the soul. And so in that awareness, I know that the soul is good. The Father is good, I know that anyway. But also Rama is good. And do I have that conviction and that faith that Rama is good? And so if I have that, then I'm not going to allow any of these other negative waste thoughts to come in. And of course, if I'm having waste thoughts and negativity about myself, what's going to happen to everybody else around me? I'm going to have that same vision and that same attitude for them also. And so again, more bondages that I'm creating. And so the way to be free, everyone is good. And that's a fact. In their original state, every soul has goodness. And so instead of getting caught up in limited things and allowing my consciousness to be influenced by everything that's limited, so important to keep my stage on that highest level possible. Baba's described how if there's a condition of the body in which there is illness, yes, there's karma to be settled and so it's come, or it's a situation in which things are not so good, Baba saying, that's not true. Situation, if it's come in front of you now, if you see it as not good, it's going to be that. But if you see it as something to learn from, and that there's benevolence in the drama, then in that state of benevolence, it will become good. Otherwise, even if it is good, whatever the superficial fact may be, it's not as I want it to be. But below the surface, drama, Sangam Yug, it is benevolent. And if I see the benevolence of that, it becomes that. And if I see it as bad, my own thoughts make it bad and create that. And in the state of illness, Baba's described very beautifully how, and it's something we saw in all the dadis, every single one of them. When illness came, and again they would say to Mama, Mama, how come we take so much benefit from you, we see the deity qualities in you, and yet this illness has come? And Mama would say, it's come to settle karma, and it's better that it's settled now than later. And so Mama's attitude always was this, and this is why her face was always shining, and doctors wouldn't even know who was the patient if they came to visit her. There'd be 3-4 other people around, and they'd ask, "Who's the patient?" They wouldn't be able to see from her face. But we also saw it in all the other daddies. Absolute detachment. And that understanding that better it gets settled now than later. And so I was saying how the state of being detached from the body, bodiless stage, I always use this word, videhi, no body at all. So it's usually a term that's used to describe God, the videhi, the incorporeal one. But Baba's using it for all of us, so that we also learn to come to that awareness and be in that stage. Come back to the stage that you were when you were in Paramdham, no body at all. And so in that stage of being completely detached from the body, that detachment from the body is like anesthesia. I was saying, just like there are now medicines, injections that can help you be free from pain. The pain is there, but you're not experiencing it because external means have made you detached. But in this case, not anything external, but one's own internal awareness. And that's what the daddies would do, the detachment from the body, being in the bodiless stage, so that then the body was settling whatever it needed to, but there was a smile. And the smile of a yogi means that karma is being settled instead of more accumulation. Otherwise then pain and the suffering that's coming from that pain and more karma, because then my reactions are creating that karma. So a very interesting description of what it means to be close to that karmati stage. There was an interesting scene that I saw many, many years ago. It would have been in the days of Om Shanti Bhavan. And Baba was talking to the dadis, and Baba would usually do that at the end. And it was very, Om Shanti Bhavan anime was very intimate, and the dadis were very close on the stage, and Baba was very close. And Baba was talking to that little group and was saying, "Do you experience the karmatit stage?" And they said to Baba, "Baba, will we leave the body and then be karmatit?" And Baba said, "No, you'll be in the body and you'll experience the karmatit stage." And they said, "But Baba left the body karmatit as soon as he became karmatit." And this is the sentence you often hear in the Sakar Murli, that when you're karmatit, you leave the body. And Baba said, "Baba wants all of you to be examples of what it is to be in the karmatit stage and demonstrate that to others so that they also know that it's possible." Baba had further work to do, and so Baba went beyond, but all of you have a lot of work to do here, and so Baba wants you to demonstrate this in your lives now. And now that almost all the daddies are gone, we have 2 left out of the group of 350, and of course the 2 are still already in their 90s, I think. Daddy Ratan Moini is now 96, and Ishu Daddy may be 94, something like that. And Ishu Daddy still in ICU in Ahmedabad Hospital. Daddy Ratan Moini, she was always called the Yuta Dadi because she was anyway the most active out of all the dadis for longer than everybody else. And so they made her the chairperson of the youth group. Now, she was already in her 70s when she became the chairman of the youth group, but so everybody called her the Yuta Dadi. But it's interesting that even today there is a lovely photograph of her walking in the solar unit. They've got a lot of space, they've got beautiful gardens, and they planted fruit trees everywhere. So it's a really beautiful space. And she goes walking there every day. And so a lovely photograph of her with her companions. And so still active, and hopefully, let's see the drama, but we'll continue that way. But all the other dadis already avyakt. And so the demonstration by these souls of what it is to be karmatit whilst in the physical form, in the body but totally bodiless, the description that the doctors gave of Dadi Gulzar when they came for the cremation. They came in the morning and left in the evening, afternoon, to go back to Bombay. It was just afternoon actually. And any number of them said the same thing. About five of them came. And I think three or four of them said the same thing. And one of them has become a regular student hearing Murali and so on. And so Dadi Gulzar always managed to do a huge amount of service, no matter what the condition of the body was. And they said that when we would touch her, we didn't feel as if we were feeling flesh and bones. It was a very different experience. It was as if there was no substance there. It was like a costume of light. And in different words, they express that same idea. And so in the body, but bodiless. And through that bodiless stage, able to keep her countenance absolutely calm and peaceful without any type of reactivity whatsoever. So the dadis have done that. They've demonstrated all of this. And so now, up to us individually to see how close we want to be to our karmatit stage, to that stage of completion and fulfillment, or how much still remains to be done. But many people seeing the scenes of what's going on in India, and it is a huge tragedy, but seeing all those scenes now, I think for Brahmins, a lot of reflection, how much more time is all this going to continue? And are we coming to that point where the signal is going to come very quickly that it's time to go home? Last year, in the month of March, a complex that most of you haven't seen, because when I saw it last year around March, April, it was only just completed. And most of you had left by that time, I think. So it's further than Tapovan, where we have this space where we often have gatherings. But this is by the place that there used to be a farm, by the riverside. And the river is empty most of the year. The only time you see water in that river is monsoon time, but it's still called the riverside. Big complex that was created and completed only just last year. And the first residents of that complex were people who tested positive for corona. And so that space, one of the buildings had been handed over to the government, and I think they had about 100 people who were there. And from March through to October, and then by October, 99% recovery was the rate of that building, that complex, because Brahmin food, pure environment, pollution-free environment in that particular area. The factories are a different area. And so everybody's good vibrations, nurses and doctors were all Brahmins, so 99% recovery at that time. So now again, now this time the whole complex, 500 bed space has been handed over to help the COVID patients within that neighborhood. And you know that neighborhood, very deprived area, so not many facilities around. So the situation in India is absolutely tragic, but Madhuban has offered this space to give whatever support it can to people who are in need. But yesterday somebody also sent me a list that was at least as long as this, of different charitable organizations who again are saying that whatever help is needed, be willing to give. But then you see the photographs and the videos of people literally falling down and dying in the streets. And so at the time of need, who's going to telephone and say, yes, here's somebody who has a need. So when Baba says, can you not hear the cries of those who are suffering? Well, you don't need to be in silence to be able to catch that vibration. Now it's happening in a very physical way. And so the motivation, yes, for during the time of Karuna to have Karuna, compassion, but also to be able to speed up the efforts we need to make to reach our final stage, our Karmatit stage. And the deeper the understanding of how our thoughts create bondage, or how our thoughts can finish bondage, maybe that is the most essential lesson. So, Nirbhay Bhai is back in Shantivan, so that's good news. The sisters from London who were not well, all of them are very, very much on the path of recovery, and from the sound of their voices, 1,000 times better than they were last week. So Manda Ben, Gopi Ben, Preeti, all of them much, much better. So from the Brahmin family, the only one who's really seriously out of action is actually Ishudadi. But every day for the last few weeks, every single day, we're getting notices of young sisters who've left the body, surrendered sisters living in the centers, ranging from 30 to 50. So Madhuban is on the mend, but certainly other places in India, it's happening in a very, very severe way. So lots of good vibrations. And today when we offer bhog, again the list becomes very long every time we have a bhog offering. And so some who are unwell and needing help from Baba for recovery, some who have passed away, and of course all, everybody knows that we lost two very powerful instruments over the last week on the same day. One was Parvati Ben, Parvati Mata in Peterborough. Many of you here don't know her, but people in the Midlands know her very well. She was the foundation for the centre in Peterborough. They had sent classes in her home with her and her daughter Naina Ben for years and years, until just a few years earlier they were able to get a separate place. And so she passed away on the 20th. And also, of course, our dear Nagin Bhai, who used to occupy the front row, the front seat. And he passed away 91 years old, so a very rich and beautiful life of values, of compassion, of service to many in the community. And the cremation for Nagin Bhai will be tomorrow, but it will be on Zoom. Just a few family members able to actually go there physically. But the hearse will come in the courtyard tomorrow, Monday, at 10:15, and then we'll leave at 10:30. So those who are daily class students and are able to come, you'd be able to be here. So that's the update. So everybody needing lots of Baba's loving light vibrations. So when we offer bhog, you remember everybody you need just for a moment, and then you continue to be with Baba. Om Shanti.